Between the compact car's headlights, the traffic light turns from red to green, and immediately the cab driver leans on his horn. The driver of the compact shuts off his engine, removes the keys from the ignition switch, gets out of his car, and walks back to the cab, where he confronts the cab driver. "Here are my keys," he says. "You run her over. I don't have the stomach for it right now." Now, it's easy for us to identify with that poor lady crossing the intersection. I think we all know the feeling of total powerlessness that overtakes one in the middle of a crossing of a busy intersection when the light turns green. You feel trapped, helpless, at the complete mercy of that driver sitting there behind those glaring headlights. And if your voice is not heard crying out, "Have pity on me," at least the plea is reflected in your anguished look. But now, reverse the situation. Put yourself behind the wheel. With whom do you identify more closely? The driver of the compact car or the taxi driver? Now, most of us, I am sure, can remember many times when we did, in fact, lean on our horns, not because of some vicious compulsion to see someone knocked down, but simply out of sheer habit. We acquire the habit so easily of hearing, but not listening, of looking, but not seeing. We hear a cry. We see the anguished look, but we don't personalize it. The cry we hear is just another cry, not the sign of a real, warm, living human person, someone in distress. We learn how to push and shove and to compete, lean on our horns, and soon these things become habits, even reflex actions. There are drivers who lean on their horns automatically, persons who automatically say no whenever someone approaches them for help. There are persons who automatically look the other way when they simply see someone in distress in order, as they say today, not to become involved. There are persons who become absolute masters in automatically changing the subject whenever someone tries to share a problem or hurt with them. They forget that to pray is to listen to someone else. There are lots of strange things that happen at hospitals. I once knew a middle-aged clergyman who had a terrible way with sick people. He did visit the sick members of his parish, and they would, of course, naturally begin to speak about their illness. But he fell into the habit of turning it off completely and responding with some reference to his own medical history. For example, his response to someone who said they might have a broken ankle would be, "Well, the same thing happened to me the first time I went skiing." Or if the patient had a migraine headache, he would say, "I had to take 2 aspirins myself this morning." Now, one day at the hospital, a patient had just finished telling him about her recent surgery. "My dear," he responded, "I had the same problem myself just a few years ago." And because he had become so true to this bad habit of not listening to anybody, He did not realize that the woman 2 days ago had delivered a baby by cesarean section. And she said, icily, tell me, who is your obstetrician? Now this mystery that we call our God, who has come to us through Jesus Christ, has given himself to us in such healing love that he has made it possible for us to feel and to express compassion. This is really largely what it means to be a Christian today. We can see that in the life of our Lord himself by turning to almost any page in the gospel. Read a few verses and immediately you come across the fact that Christ was indeed a person for others, a person of compassion for people with fears and emotional problems. He had compassion for the crowds that were hungry. He had compassion. And today he heard the voices of 10 lepers crying out to them for healing. And as we know, Jesus cured all 10 of them. This is what we would expect him to do. We all want today a compassionate healer who will listen to our troubles, make them disappear. Even those persons who have only a vague kind of understanding of who Christ is, understand that he was indeed, and still is in spirit, a person of compassion. What we sometimes fail to understand is that from the moment that he came in contact with other people, the moment that they began to identify with him, he began to prepare them for a ministry of compassion to other people. And although the disciples had heard Jesus speak of feeding the hungry and healing the sick, it wasn't until he himself told them to go out and do it themselves that they finally learned the lesson. We forget what we hear. We remember what we see, but we understand only what we do. How often we have heard the story about the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. That's why we keep up these two tapestries here in the sanctuary of the loaves and the fishes, a reminder of our service and ministry to others. That after Jesus took those loaves of bread and broke them, then he gave them to his disciples and said to them, now you go out and feed those hungry people here on the grassy hillside. When we come here in contact with the risen Christ, we come to the table and we are fed by him. He nourishes us with his compassion. But then he says to us, when he sends us out, he says, now you go out and feed the people during the week. You nourish them with the compassion with which I energize you. Part of what it means to belong to him is to understand what it means to take the loaves that we receive here at this table and to go out and feed people during the week. There are very, very few people in the world who have been given a natural gift of sensitivity to other people. It means that most of us must work at developing the ability to be sensitive to the needs of other people. There are people indeed all around us. People who are hungry, not for bread, but for the healing nourishment of the mystery that we call God, the mystery that has been given to us. These are the lonely people around us. They are hungry, hungry for that nourishing mystery of the Lord. Those people are lonely. They need hope. They need healing. They need to be listened to. And that is your ministry. That is the service that you provide. Jesus breaks the loaves here and puts them into your hands so that you are made strong enough during the week to go out and feed those hungry people. And when it comes to the bottom line, there's only one question. Do we have compassion? We forget what we hear. We remember what we see. But we understand only what we do.